Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
What you need, you know I got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll tell you what, man.
Got to have it all the time, can't live without it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not talking to you. I talk to anybody out there, the haters. I talk to the haters right now.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Kirk Morrison.
He is one of the all-time friggin' greats.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport from the Houston Chronicle, Aaron Wilson, plus Chris Mannix. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Welcome in to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Kirk Morrison. Your guest host for Rich. Always love to have this platform, so thank you, Rich. I know he's enjoying vacation, and hopefully I won't burn the set down. As always, though, I couldn't do this if I didn't have the crew, so I'm always excited to be back. And I always feel like it's like a family reunion with my long-lost cousin. Right? And so my cousins are here with me, Brockman, Mike
up,
Del
Kirk?
Tufo.
Kirk,
Mr. TJ Jefferson over there in the over at the putting green.
What up, though?
How you doing, man? Good to see you.
Tremendous, Kirk. Good to see you, bro.
TJ.
So every day from now on. But last night, guys. So I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to talk about on the show? Right, it's Thursday.
Of course.
We're in the middle of toward the end of March. Football is already in its second, week of free agency.
Yep.
You got the NBA trade deadline that'll happen. As the show will come to an end a little bit later, in about, a little less than 3 hours, the NBA's trade deadline will be over. Let's talk about baseball. I went on a spring training baseball trip last week.
Did you
week.
Go? Yeah. Oh, nice. Because I remember the last few years when you filled in, you talk about you go on this trip every year.
I didn't go last year due to COVID.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously COVID hit and a trip that I did not make last year, but I went this year. Had a great time down there in Arizona. Totally different than California, but that's for another conversation for another day.
Because of the daylight savings thing? Is that what you mean?
Well, that too. Daylight saving time does hurt, but not anymore. They're on the same time as us now. So
yeah, Phoenix, they never switch.
They never switch, but now they're on Pacific Standard Time.
Finally.
So then I'm thinking about all these pro days, and I'm like, what do I want to talk about? And so I want to start here with you guys. I want to start with the NBA trade deadline.
All right.
And the reason why I want to start there is because that's like the news of the NBA right now currently. But yet I sit back in my mind and I start to like really think who actually has a shot to actually win a title this year. You know what I mean? Like we can talk about all the moves that can be made. We can talk about the players who are available and, oh, what if we get this guy? But I'm like, does that guy literally make a difference for your basketball team? Let's be honest. This race for the NBA Finals, right? The NBA champions is between, I would say, four teams.
Yeah, who you got? Lakers and Nets, obviously.
Lakers and Nets, obviously. And I'm almost to a point where, like, if we don't get Lakers-Nets, I'm kind of disappointed. Like, no offense to Utah, and we saw what happened with, LeBron and Kevin Durant when they talked about Utah players. Like, people just don't like the Utah Jazz. It's like, it is
so
known
weird.
Now.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't play with the Utah Jazz either during NBA Jam days either, so it's no offense to the Utah Jazz, but they could be a potential spot. But for me, I'm just looking at the teams possibly that can, I guess, upset the Lakers or Brooklyn and get there. My teams right now currently, I think it's going to be the Lakers, right? I think it's going to be the Brooklyn Nets, and I want to see that for an NBA final. But outside of that, like, who really are the contenders? Yes, the 76ers, they look like a good team. Watched Tobias Harris the other night, kind of balled out a little bit, and they'll get Joel Embiid back, Ben Simmons. And then I'm looking at the Suns, another team that – but do they have enough? Like, there's good teams right now currently in the NBA. They're good. I mean, the record tells me that. You are what your record is. I mean, you're a good basketball team. But we all know, like, regular season versus postseason, it's a little bit different, right? It's totally different.
Totally different.
And so now as I'm looking at the trade deadline, And I'm looking at some of those names. I think we had a trade go down a little bit earlier where Nikola Vucevic goes from Orlando to Chicago. And this is one of those baseball trades because it's not like Chicago is currently in the playoffs. They're trying to make that wild card, you know, the round of where it's the 8, 9, 10, and 11 seeds battle it out for who gets the 8 seed. So this is like a baseball wild card trade. Like, hey, we just want to get a shot at the tournament.
Right.
So it could, you know, we'll talk to Chris Maddox in the third hour about this trade just so I can kind of wrap my brain around what happened with that one. But obviously the guest today, too, I got to talk to Ian Rappaport. He's coming up at 12:20 Eastern time. We'll get to his thoughts. Mac Jones, Pro Day, Alabama. Get what kind of what the buzz is now about Mac Jones.
I'm down with Mac Jones.
You down with Mac Jones?
I'm
well, he
Mac
could
Jones.
Be in that first round of quarterbacks. We'll talk to him. Aaron Wilson, the writer down there, covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle. Just the update on Deshaun Watson. Right? It's a story that continues to get more and more legs. And then I mentioned Chris Mannix. We'll be in the third hour. We'll be talking a ton of NBA as a trade deadline. We'll come to a close pretty soon. But, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out, fellas. I really am, because I've always been one that if you entertain me, I'll watch, right? Remember, it's been that first round of the NBA playoffs and you kind of watched it and it's usually some good games. You'll see teams, you're like, oh, wow, the NBA is great. Then you get to that next round and you're like, oh, this is not good at all. Like, the bubble was good. It was fun.
Bubble was fun.
It gave us some new stars that we hadn't seen before or guys who are really starting to come into the – I'm thinking about, like, Jamal Murray last year.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like,
even Donovan Mitchell to a certain extent.
Absolutely. I mean, he makes a shot down at the end. I mean, now you're lifting him from just being a – I think he's a superstar to one of these big-time players that you truly follow. And – that was last year in the bubble. I want to know what this year's playoffs is going to be. And this is the funny thing. And I'll throw this at you first, Chris. Let me know. Or Brock. I'll call you Chris or Brock. Hey, we're buddies anyway. Anyway.
It's all good,
man. Think about this, though. Remember in like the 90s, early 2000s, everybody was like, you got to win the Western Conference. You got to be the number one seed. You need home court advantage in the NBA. You need home court advantage. And we've seen not only through the bubble, but I think now it doesn't matter about home court advantage. It doesn't matter about having to play four games in my home arena because I don't think I'm going to get to that many games.
Yeah, TJ, you can speak to this too. You watch a lot of ball, but home court advantage in the NBA this year, next to zero. I know a few arenas, a few of these cities are starting to allow fans, and it's just, you know, minimal, a few thousand. I know that makes a little bit of a difference, but it's not 18,000. It's not Utah where they're on top of you and they're screaming at the officials and suddenly, you know, the calls at home go a little bit more in your favor. Or, if you know, like you mentioned, the late 2000s, we know there was a Tim Donaghy situation going
on. There you go. Don't bring that up.
But we know things are going a certain way when you're in the home or it's game six and the league wants a game seven. You kind of know it's going to happen. But now, I mean, just watching regular season games this year, I mean, straight up underdogs are winning more than ever. The road teams are winning more than ever. Yeah. And I think we saw it across all sports, NFL included, this past season. Home field, home court, next to nil in this COVID world that we're living in.
It doesn't even matter, right, at all. And I'm looking at, like, obviously the Lakers, right? And TJ, I'm with the Lakers, and I know Anthony Davis is out. LeBron James is out. And so, to me, it's about just getting to the tournament now.
Yeah.
Like, people keep saying, like, oh, who's going to dethrone the Lakers? And I'm looking at LeBron, I'm looking at AD, and people are concerned because the Lakers don't look like the same team. Obviously, they're not the same team. You don't have two of the best players in the NBA. They're not playing. You're not going to go out and win games. It's
exactly.
Tough to win. And then you look at, you know, Kyle Kuzma has his little time. This is his time to shine, by the way. Kyle Kuzma, while Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they go out and show everybody.
If not now, when for Kuz? You know.
He better do it now. But if you honestly look at them just getting to the tournament, are we saying that if the Lakers were a 6 seed or a 7 seed that they can't win the Western Conference? They can't get to the NBA Finals? No, it's crazy. So now I'm looking at, could these teams now just say, you know what, we need to rest our stars? Is what happened last year with the pandemic, with playing in the bubble, finally starting to catch up with some of these guys. And look, LeBron James's injury on the ankle was a freak injury, right? He was going for the ball and, Solomon Hill is trying to reach for the ball and he rolls an ankle.
That could have happened at any point, any time, yeah.
But I'm starting to say at some point, can fatigue set in? Can fatigue start to set in with some of these guys who been playing basketball around the clock? At some point, do you just say, you know what? How do we minimize the minutes a little bit? Let's just get to end of April. Let's just get to the playoffs.
Make it there healthy.
Like, seriously. Like, that's where I think the NBA is now turning. So it's a little bit difficult for me to watch some of these games, right? And then, like, you get excited about, oh, I can't wait to watch. For me, I'm a Warriors fan, Steph Curry, and yet he may not be playing. Or Kevin Durant not playing. And I'm watching. Think about some of the stars who are hurt right now. I mentioned Steph Curry's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant's hamstring. Remember, he was supposed to be back right after the All-Star break? Yeah. He's still out.
Still out.
Remember Joel Embiid, that knee injury? He's still out.
That was scary.
That was scary, but he's still out. Mm-hmm. I mentioned LeBron. I mentioned AD. And I'm looking at these NBA stars, and if I'm teams, if I'm executives, general managers, head coaches, I'm kind of scared because I need these guys in order to win. I need these guys if we want to get to an NBA Finals. And so I think these injuries for me are telling me, look, let's kind of play this thing a little slow. Let's kind of ease guys back a little. No need to rush. We got plenty of time. We're going to make it. And now with the expansion of the NBA playoffs to now
have this little like play-in
this little
tournament.
Now. So you have the 8, 9, 10, and 11 seeds.
I think it's 7, 8, 9, 7, 10. 7,
10. Oh, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm sorry. Yeah, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, we can add those in. So with the 7, 8, 9, and 10, as long as you're not a 7, right, you're good. So you're actually just playing to be a 6 seed, so you have to play those extra games.
Right.
But if you know you have that in your back pocket, how hard are you willing to go? Right? How hard are you willing to go? I'm not trying to go back to my college years, but if I know I've got a pretty decent grade and it's like, hey, this is one test, you can take it. It doesn't really reflect on your grade. You're like, what?
Wait a second.
You mean this one doesn't reflect on my grade? Oh, perfect. Like, you don't have to use that same amount of effort. You don't need the same that, you know, to buckle down and, oh, it's in the fourth quarter and we need it. Like, okay. They got this one. We see that way too often, I think, in the NBA anyway, is that a team is down by, you know, about 10 points. They give a nice little effort in the fourth quarter, and they realize, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And you got coaches who just give the little, all right, we got it. We're done. They wave the white flag. So
it's funny. We were talking to Rick Bucher yesterday. And
Rick.
The Lakers are in the 3 seed right now. Of course, they were in the driver's seat kind of all season in the West before Anthony Davis gets hurt. And now LeBron, they've lost 3 in a row. He was talking about the Lakers being in this play-in tournament. They may fall all the way to 9. And suddenly now the Lakers are kind of playing for their playoff lives when they were the prohibitive NBA favorite to win the championship all season long.
That's tough. I don't see that. I think that they'll find a way to at least be a 6. Like, I can't get them all the way down to 7. I think LeBron will be back. And it was funny. Like, I had this conversation the other day. Like, we were talking about LeBron. A couple of guys we were saying because – you know, kind of let me down a little bit. I was hoping to see Lakers Suns Sunday night. I was in Arizona for the weekend.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Saturday, literally before, like, LeBron James hurts his ankle. Oh. And it's like, now do I want to go watch the LeBron and, I mean, Anthony Davis-less Lakers versus the Suns?
So, I'll pass.
I'll pass on that one because
I mean, the Suns are a fun team to watch.
They're a fun team to watch, but
obviously one of the surprises of the NBA season.
But people in Los Angeles, when's the last time you've seen LeBron James live? People living in L.A., they haven't. The Staples Center is not open unless you work for the team or something
right?
like that.
Yeah.
But I'm just a basketball fan. I'm a sports fan. I'm trying to figure things out with the NBA. And I think we'll see over the next couple hours if we have some big trades go down. But nothing that's going to be earth-rattling, right? It's going to shake up the NBA, nothing like that. But I think what I'm seeing currently in the NFL, what's kind of been shaking up, is the quarterbacks. It's a quarterback league in the NFL. Trust me, I played in the game. I played in the league for 8 years. You're not good unless you got the guy who can do things behind center. Trust me. You can have a great defense. You can have an outstanding special teams group. You can be okay offensively. But if you got a guy who can sling it, trust me, you're much better than everybody else. I bring it up because I think we've had a couple of pro days over the last couple of weeks. We've had Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, a guy who I watched at in the playoffs last year, the FCS playoffs. And I'm like, He was a redshirt freshman the time that I saw him. And I'm like, uh-oh, this kid's not going to be here long. like there's certain players who you just see, you watch their demeanor, you watch how they play, and you're like, oh, that dude's a pro. Like, if we all went down to Venice Beach and you watch guys play basketball and there's like one pro between everybody, you just say like, that guy, oh yeah, he's an NBA guy. He's a pro guy. It's the same thing when it comes to football. And so I want to get Ian Rappaport's take on this too, because Mac Jones, the quarterback at Alabama, you know, he'll have his opportunity, you know, to show basically, hey, he can be a franchise quarterback. Is he a franchise quarterback? I don't know. I'm just saying people are telling me from what they saw at his pro day at Alabama, he opened some eyes. And to think about it with Mac Jones, he had to wait behind Jalen Hurts, who right now is considered a franchise quarterback. He's a starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, Tua Tagovailoa, same thing. Starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins currently. And then here's Mac Jones. So sometimes people say, well, he only had one good year. But look at the guys who were ahead of him, right? So that's something I want to get into. Who are going to be the guys who I think can be in the first round of this quarterbacks of the NFL? I can't wait. NFL draft. Kirk Morrison here in for Rich Eisen. Ian Rappaport coming up next. Aaron Wilson a little bit later. Chris Mannix in the third hour. We'll be right back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Kirk Morrison, the 8-year NFL veteran, now NFL host over on SiriusXM. And yeah, hosting in for Rich as he takes some time off, much needed time off, back here with the guys, Brockman, Del Tufo, TJ.
What's
over
up,
there.
Kirk?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? I got so much NFL news that I want to just dive right into it, and better to dive into it is Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. And Ian, let me start with here first, because I know you've been tweeting about some of the protocols upcoming, because we kind of turn our attention now from the free agency beginnings to now the draft. And so the draft now has, I'm seeing some new protocols for vaccinations and how they will handle the COVID and inviting fans out to the draft.
Yeah, good to be with you. So the sort of change came this morning, from the NFL, basically regarding updated guidelines from the CDC for people who are fully vaccinated. Obviously fully vaccinated means you've received two doses, you have had your post-shot 2-week window, et cetera. So now what they are saying is a maximum of 10 individuals who are fully vaccinated can be in the draft room, and if all individuals are in the draft room, masks will not be required, physical distancing will be relaxed, and eating and drinking will be permissible. And that means that anyone who has the vaccine is allowed to be in the draft room, and it's going to look like they used to, right? So I think that's, sort of a significant thing, and the NFL has gone a very long way to try to implore people, please get the vaccine. Please get vaccinated. I know a lot of NFL personnel people are. So this is just sort of another push in that direction.
And then now when you think about it, Ian, how many guys truly can the NFL, I guess, invite, or who will they try to invite? Obviously, the quarterbacks is always something that people want to see. Those are the eye catchers in terms of being in that green room. But how many players you think overall would probably accept an invitation to go down to the draft?
Sounds like it's going to be a handful. So maybe, and I don't know this for sure, but maybe right. 10, maybe 15. And, you know, those players, we'll see. You know, one thing we've learned in COVID is that a week is a long time. So a month or more is a really, really long time. So we don't know what the regulations for vaccination are going to be like then. I mean, it might be possible for players who are there, you know, to be fully vaccinated by that point, and then in which case you're fine. But you are going to get, you know, let's say 10 or so in Cleveland. And then, you know, the other thing you're going to have is something we saw last year during the draft, which is a lot of cameras in houses. Mm. So people hanging with family, you're going to see people's homes, you're going to get to see, you know, who the mom is and the dad and the high school coach and the girlfriend or the wife and all the stuff that makes the draft fun. You're going to get to see that in a lot of homes as well.
NFL Network's Ian Rappaport joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here in for Rich. Make sure you follow Ian on Twitter as well. At Rapsheet is his Twitter handle. Kind of browsing through Twitter a little bit ago, I saw that the Chicago Bears, they tweeted out a picture of their QB1. And it wasn't Russell Wilson, right? It was Andy Dalton. Ian, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, are they trying to tell us something that we're supposed to wrap our arms around Andy Dalton if you're a Chicago Bears fan? Or is this just all a little bit of smoke before we get ready to get to this draft where they draft the quarterback who they think can lead this franchise for the next, 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, I mean, I had thought ever since they told Andy Dalton he was quarterback number one when they signed him, I had thought this was probably going to be this way. I mean, and them, you know, them saying QB1 for Andy Dalton does make you think that, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, no one has said to me Russell Wilson is definitely 100% not getting traded.
Right.
I thought it was unlikely, but no one has said 100%. So, I mean, this just sort of further solidifies it. I mean, the Bears are moving forward with Andy Dalton. Do they take someone in the draft? Possible. They'd have a long way to go mm-hmm. is sort of the problem, right? Like, they'd have to – someone would have to fall for them, or they'd have to make a big trade back up. And it's interesting, too, because you know, you have a general manager and a coach who are, you know, in a situation where they have to win this year. Would the organization let them go all in to make a big trade up for a quarterback? I don't know. A lot of intrigue with the Bears, but it does seem like they're moving forward with Andy Dalton.
You know, it was a lot going on over the last, 3 to 4 weeks in terms of Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. And would Russell be the QB1 for the Chicago Bears? And now we know that Russell Wilson currently is a member of the Seattle Seahawks. How does this still end up playing out, though, Ian? Is there still something that could go down towards the draft? It seems that that talk has sort of cooled when it comes to Russell Wilson. And obviously the teams that were thrown out there, teams that he would go to, have kind of filled their positions at quarterback.
Yeah. And you know, I think one thing you've seen is he has not sort of updated his list. He has not expanded his list. He hasn't said, you know what?
Right.
I could go anywhere. If he said that, you know, teams would be interested. You'd have teams who have really good draft picks who might actually be, you know, desirable for Seattle to work with, like the Jets, for instance. They might get in the mix, potentially. But he hasn't expanded his list. He gave a list of 4 teams, and that was basically that. So, you know, if he gets traded, I don't see where. But what I do think this does is kind of put the pressure on Seattle to say, you got to improve things this year. Otherwise, you know, we're probably going to go through this again next offseason. And at that point, that would be for real.
We saw Aaron Rodgers restructure his contract with the Green Bay Packers. What does this now lead for him? Obviously, the cap number in 2021, the highest in the NFL, I believe, a $37 plus million against the cap, over 20% of the Green Bay Packers salary cap for this season. Is this just basically a one-year deal, or how are we seeing the Green Bay Packers and they navigate these waters with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, what we've seen with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers is a little bit of a standoff, something that's, you know, really happened the last couple of days. last couple of weeks, actually, where, right. you know, I know they'd like him to kind of restructure his deal. He has not wanted to, and Mike Silver has, my colleague, has done some reporting on just sort of Rodgers wants to make sure that he is, wants to make sure that he is there for the foreseeable future. Doesn't want to do anything that's going to make it so they can move on from him. And in a way, I sort of understand it because we've seen, you know, Tom Brady plays till he's 40, Drew Brees plays till he's 40. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is going, can I? Like, why are you trying to get rid of me just because you draft so in the first round? Doesn't matter. So, you know, that's been a little bit of a standoff. And what it also did was kind of stop the Packers from making any moves in free agency, which is a whole other different, interesting issue.
You know, one of the things, too, Ian, I'm just kind of looking at, a picture there of Aaron Rodgers going against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that NFC Championship game. But as you look at what the Buccaneers have now done this offseason, it seems they bring the whole gang back. Obviously, they signed Ndamukong Suh the other day to kind of bring back that nucleus back. And you see now that Tom Brady and what he's done in less than, almost a full calendar year, how he's changed not only the way that franchise looks, the way people view that franchise. How much does that influence, you think, maybe an Aaron Rodgers or maybe another quarterback out there to say, you know what, I kind of want to get some of this total power, not total power, but some of this influence that Tom Brady may have over an organization?
Yeah, I think a lot of big-time quarterbacks kind of looked at that and were like, wait a minute. Like, if I just have a little more say in personnel, they could just bring in the guys that I want. And, you know, it's an all-in approach. And, you know, at some point, the Bucs will kind of get the other side of it where they've given a lot of money, they've created cap space, they've kicked it down the line. At some point, that will all catch up with them. I just don't know when. I mean, we've been saying it's going to catch up with the Saints forever, and it hasn't. They're still signing guys.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of quarterbacks looked at that and said, it's unfair that Brady gets to do what he wants and I don't. So, you know, that maybe that did lead to some of this where guys like Russell Wilson and, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers said, I deserve this say also, just like Tom Brady gets in Tampa.
I want to stay right there in that same division, though, Ian, the NFC South, because – Tampa Bay, we already know what's going on with them. They've already got theirs already taken care of. Carolina, still trying to figure out maybe the quarterback situation. We'll see when the draft comes along. I look at Atlanta. They seem to be pretty firm with Matt Ryan. But then there's the New Orleans Saints, and they re-sign Jameis Winston. Obviously, Taysom Hill signs the, and I know you can't see this, but I got my air quotes up, the 4 years, $140 million contract, by the way. But it's Taysom Hill versus Jameis Winston. And for right now, everyone's saying that this is kind of Jameis' job to lose. But when you look at Taysom Hill, is this truly going to be a competition in New Orleans?
Well, first of all, the Taysom Hill contract was fake. That was
right.
Actually, it was just.
That's what I have my air quotes up for you. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be a competition, but to me, it feels like Jameis Winston has the leg up there. I mean, he's the guy. I know they liked him a lot last year. They loved how he was in practice. They loved him in the building. He worked hard. He cares about it. The only thing you don't know is when he gets on the field, is he going to limit the interceptions? Is he going to make smarter decisions? And there's just – you just can't tell in practice. So I really think – I mean, this might be a situation where the preseason games are actually important this year. We're going to have them again, it sounds like. So preseason games might be important where it's going to show the Saints, like, did Jameis really learn? Is he going to make smart decisions? Is he going to be a sound decision maker? If that's the case, then I think he probably will be the starter. And Sean Payton is such a good coach, such a good offensive schemer. You know, this could be a career resurrection for Jameis.
NFL Network's Ian Rapoport, at Rap Sheet on Twitter. So, Ian, I know you're down there in the building trying to, you're hearing what's going on down there at the NFL Network. You hear in these pro days, right? Guys are ripping it up. I see you just posted about the Micah Parsons 4.3 40, that the linebacker from Penn State.
Yep.
Where could he go in the top 10? If you look at what Devin White did and for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how he was a force. But Mac Jones, a quarterback of Alabama, had an impressive day at his pro day for Alabama. Obviously, we saw Trey Lance, a quarterback at North Dakota State. Like, what are you starting to hear now that we're getting a chance to see these players? They're out there performing. They're working out. They're impressing. What's been the buzz so far as we start to get ready for the draft?
Well, I think the main thing I hear is the quarterbacks are going to go early. Mm. And it's sort of always the case, right? If a quarterback is the 25th best prospect, he probably gets drafted 10th, right? I mean, we've seen that. History shows people will trade up for a quarterback, and it's just they start getting antsy, and they say, you know what, I don't care about the pay. I'm just gonna do it. I expect that this year. I mean, we could see four quarterbacks in the top 10, you know, something like that, which is great news for basically everyone else. Because mm-hmm. if you like another player, you're an offensive tackle or a pass rusher, a corner, a couple top corners, you know, one of those guys gets pushed up. One of those guys could get past the top 10 when in reality he shouldn't be because the quarterbacks all get overdrafted. So I think the quarterbacks are going to go really early, which will be a lot of fun. And then other than that, it'll be everyone jockeying around for kind of who is their favorite, you know, at a position of need or a position of high value.
You know, one last couple of things for you here, Ian, is I was kind of joking with the guys a little bit earlier. I said, what's going on with Jadeveon Clowney? Remember, it was just a little while ago where he was a franchise player. Obviously, he signs with Seattle and didn't re-sign with them. He signs with Tennessee last season, only plays, eight games. And now he's sitting out there on the free agent market. Is he still a bargain for a team right now currently, or is he just kind of sitting out hoping to get another big, big one-year deal possibly?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a one-year deal. I mean, what's interesting about Clowney is he turned down 3 years, $57 million from the Browns last year.
Wow.
You know, obviously should have taken that in hindsight, of course. But, you know, what he wanted to do was not limit his earning value. He wanted to make sure that he could go out, have a great year last year, and then cash in this year. Did not happen, of course. So it's probably going to end up being a one-year deal with the Browns at a lot cheaper. And I know that, you know, they really wanted to just sit down with him, get to know him, talk to him, see what makes him tick in a way that they just were not able to do that last year because it just didn't lend itself to that situation, right? So they got him in the building, they talked to him, sounds like it went well. Nothing is imminent. But I know they liked what they heard. We'll see if the two sides can get together and make a deal.
Hey, Ian, always, man, I appreciate the time. I know you got a lot going on, man, but appreciate you sharing a couple minutes with us today.
All right, always a pleasure, man. Take care.
I appreciate it. That's the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport at Rapsheet on Twitter is his Twitter handle. But it's kind of a lot there, too, fellas, if you kind of break it down. Obviously, the one thing I am excited about, and I don't know about you, but the draft to have that same feel of – what I'm accustomed to, TJ. Like, when you think about the NFL draft, it's walking across the stage, mm-hmm. it's shaking the commissioner's hand,
getting that jersey,
it was holding it up, it's your fan base getting excited, or your fan base booing you if you're like Donovan McNabb and you're the Eagles, and they're like, boo.
That was the worst.
Any Jet player.
Right, or Jets players, Jets fans. That's a part of football. Like, that's the fabric of football. And look, I understand that what we were going through last year as a country in the pandemic, and they still had an NFL draft. It was different. But I never really got that true feel of kind of what I went through, right? I went through the whole NFL draft process in 2005, and I know the emotions that those players have when they get drafted. It's like your football life flashes in front of you, and now it's like, whoa, I've reached the highest level. Like, there is no league outside of the NFL. That is the highest league you can go to. And to see, like, those players' reactions, I couldn't get that raw emotion last year. And I understood why. I couldn't get it. Because you kind of already knew it, and there were people who were leaking the reports. And you had guy was going here. And when we come back from break, we'll have the live reaction of this guy. When it comes to the draft, how we normally see it, like, you can see real time when a trade happens or a team is off the clock. You're like, well, what is going on? Or the last year, trade was coming and you knew it like 5 minutes before. That same sudden reaction I normally would get.
Yeah, you know, we've spoken about this earlier this week. You know, some people did enjoy that feel from home because you got to see the personalities. You got to see the people with their family. So in a sense, that was really cool because if you're there with the people closest to you, the people that really helped you get to the point that you are celebrated and getting drafted, that's great. But, you know, from a fan's point of view, I think, yeah, man, maybe to see that whole spectacle, you know, to be in, you know, the arena or wherever the draft is being held when you have the thousands of fans and you get to walk up there and you get to bear hug Goodell and you get that jersey. Yeah. There is something to be said about that as well.
Yeah, but I still feel like, and I don't even know what happened in the, behind the scenes of what happened, because I'm thinking in my head, not everybody made the cut. in terms of the families, right? When you got all the families in,
yeah.
Like you only get six people on camera. Like who get to be on camera? Mama, Mom, dad, brother. Right.
You got to stay in the other room.
Does the girlfriend make the cut? Does the homeboy who played on the team? Like
you know, that's always a funny game
that's
too.
A funny, when, like, when that's you the see, part that I love. Right? Remember the CeeDee Lamb on the phone last year? Those are the moments that like I I'm laughing.
Now you know why I had VIP lanyards at my 50th birthday party. Some people didn't make the cut.
VIP lanyards, you did that
at my 50th birthday party. These guys make fun of me. I'm rich.
Is that's like the wedding?
You gotta do it though.
It's like the wedding tables or the reception tables
yeah,
that
like
you make out.
What number you're at?
Like what number are you at? I remember my brother's wedding. I had the party table. So it was pretty cool. Like
I get that all the time.
That's the right table. I love that. You know what I mean?
Like, well, you don't want to be in the back with like the ugly stepchildren table in the back.
That's the quiet table. And you pass them on the way to the bathroom. Yeah, and they all look at you like, you're having so much fun.
How's that food taste?
The random singles table.
Man. Make sure you call Rich, man. Call the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. I'm Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. Talk about some pro days and maybe a football team name in Washington. More of that coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back into the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here, filling in for Rich. And man, the laughs never stop here with you guys.
No.
It's great to be back with my extended family, Del Tufo.
Great to see you, buddy.
Great to see you, Kirk,
TJ.
Man. Always, man.
And look, you know, obviously when you come in, you have a rundown or you think, hey, I'm going to talk about this and talk about that. And then all of a sudden, you realize that today's NBA trade deadline, and all of a sudden, the trades are starting to come in. Give me a little something.
There we go.
So the breaking news that we're getting right now, this is reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, that the Denver Nuggets and the Orlando Magic have agreed on a deal for Aaron Gordon. So it's two players and a draft pick, okay, for the Orlando Magic, and the Chicago and the Denver Nuggets are going to get Aaron Gordon. So guard Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first-round pick are heading to the Magic, and Aaron Gordon is heading to the Denver Nuggets.
So the Magic now have cleaned house today. They send
Nikola
Vucevic to Chicago. They send Evan Fournier to Boston, and now they send Aaron Gordon to Denver.
Yeah.
You like this move for Denver? Does this shake up the West a little bit for the Nuggets, or...
Yeah, it gives them a little bit more firepower.
A little bit more,
I mean, obviously, you got the Joker, and you think about now adding, where does Aaron Gordon fit? Is he just coming right away as their wing? Is he a guy that's going to give them more athleticism out there on the perimeter? Is he a true scorer, though? Like, you got to think of what will his role be? Because in Orlando, he was asked to do a lot. Now, when you come to Denver, what will he be asked to do? For this team now. So they've got some pieces to it now. They didn't have to give up, you know, Michael Porter Jr. They didn't have to give up some guys who I think that, you know, I don't know how long Aaron Gordon is. This is just a half a year deal, and then they'll see what happens, you know, at the end of the season. So for me, I think this is something that makes the Western Conference intriguing. But right now, currently, the Denver Nuggets sit at fifth in the Western Conference. And we got to see what, like we mentioned earlier, what's going on with the Lakers. Could this now give Denver a resurgence and push them a little higher to where nobody wants to see the Lakers in the first round? I don't think nobody wants to see the Clippers in the first round.
Right.
Like, that's some of the questions I'm going to be asking Chris Mannix in the third hour when he comes on 2:20 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to ask him, okay, now it's about slotting now. Yep. You know, I think we see it in the NFL sometimes at the end. It's, you know, who do you want to play against in the first round in the wild card? Or would you win to be a three, or you lose and be a five? Like, you want to know those types of things. So we're seeing that. And a couple rumors are flying around, too, right now, that Rajon Rondo possibly to the Los Angeles Clippers. What would that do for the Clippers. Rondo would go back to L.A., and obviously he won a championship in with the Lakers last year. So going over to the Clippers, the opposite locker room, be a little bit different. But Montrezl Harrell did it, so it's not really like that big of a deal. But what would that mean if you get Rajon Rondo to get over to the Clippers, TJ? What's that? Right, what's that about?
Right now, you know, we're the Clippers.
Yeah, you're saying we, so yeah. you don't have a Clipper jersey on, but you're saying we. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, these guys know. I'm a Sixers fan and a Clippers fan.
Yeah,
you know, we talked about that. But the Clippers are in need of a true point guard, and Rondo would fit that bill. I mean, Patrick Beverley, who a lot of people, you know, have different feelings about. Right. Like, I'm an OG Pat Bev fan. I feel like what that guy brings to a team, and you as a player would know obviously better than us, but like, that kind of mentality, that kind of dog that he brings, especially on the defensive end, like you need guys like him to win titles.
You hate playing against them, but you love him on your team. Yeah,
but I think having a Rondo on there, just like a Hall of Fame type point guard, and especially if he does somehow win another chip, I think that would pretty much seal that deal. Ooh. But to have that type of three rings, three different franchises, I think that would make him a Hall of Famer. But
is Rondo Hall of Fame? Brock, is that?
Hall of Fame? Two titles in the two most storied NBA franchises, Celtics and Lakers.
And you weren't like the 12th man on either of these teams, you know? Like,
Playoff Rondo.
Yeah, playoff Rondo is a real thing.
Yeah.
So to get him, you know, any team would benefit from his experience.
Why
his
do
leadership.
Your teams don't have point guards? Because you said the Sixers as well, and there's a report that the Kyle Lowry to the 76ers is probably going to get done, they think, in the next couple hours before the trade deadline is up at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So it's, I guess, point guard time in the NBA?
Well, to me, Ben Simmons is the point guard. But, you know, that's how I look at it, that Simmons. But, you know, again,
you need scoring, too, though, outside of Tobias.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Joel Embiid. There are times and moments, and that's what I'm seeing from what I watched in the bubble last year in the playoffs. And what I always see, like, you're still going to need scoring. You're still going to need some guys who can come up because this guy may not have his best night, but what do you have outside of that? Who's going to be the guy to step up? That's what Rondo gave the Lakers last year. You know, he gave them that extra, that playoff Rondo that you didn't see. So I think I just like his playoff, I guess, experience for the Clippers.
And he's not a scorer necessarily, but like Rondo does all the things that are necessary to help get you to that title.
Looks like your boys did make a move, TJ. The Sixers are getting George Hill from the Thunder.
Okay.
George Hill's been around for a while.
George Hill's, you know, solid vet. And I mean solid in a good way. It's a solid vet. Probably didn't see the trade. I'm assuming we didn't have to give up too much.
Here's the deal. Philly gets, according to Woj, Philly gets George Hill for Tony Bradley, Terrence Ferguson, and two future second round picks.
Okay. Tony Bradley had like 18 and 11 his last games, replacing Embiid. So maybe someone saw that and saw something in this kid.
Austin Rivers goes to Oklahoma City as part of a three-way deal.
So that's just part of just teams are dumping money. When I hear like the second round picks and things like that, it's a lot of teams I think in the NBA are like the Rams. Like they don't want first round picks. Like, ooh, first round pick, just get it away from me. I don't want it. I don't need it. Because I think you value player over draft picks. And teams right now who feel like, hey, they have an opportunity. Look, right now, today, I am applauding the Chicago Bulls. Like, the Chicago Bulls, they are, you know.
They're going for it.
They're going for it. They're all in, right? They're right now saying, look, we're 10th in the Eastern Conference, but now we feel like we can keep rising up. We got a nice little player in Nikola Vucevic. So, you know what? We're all in. And look, Zach LaVine, he's got his blushing emoji.
He's like, oh
hey. Yeah, he's happy because obviously now you got.
Now he doesn't need to demand a trade. There was a lot of talk that this guy's a superstar, Zach LaVine, and there was a lot of talk. You know, this Bulls team is not really up to having him as a superstar, and he was going to want out and go somewhere else if the Bulls didn't.
I think he probably still won out. At some point, it's inevitable, man. Like,
I mean, if the Bulls go on a little bit of a run here and maybe catch the Hawks, maybe catch the Knicks, the East is so wide open. We're going to see so much shuffling through the end of this season in the East.
Five games under 500, though. Can they get up a little bit higher? We'll see what's going on.
Maybe.
Obviously, the Hawks, they're going to be thinking about trading Ray Rondo. So what happens with their dynamic? The East is – Is it strong? I mean, no LaMelo Ball now for the Hornets. I'm not saying that he was the everything for the Hornets, but
he was
that's
helping
a big
them run.
Blow. Yeah, that's a big blow for them.
The East is super top heavy. It's the three teams at the top. We've seen Milwaukee. They won again last night. They're undefeated since the All-Star break. They've been playing awesome. Philly, we don't know what they're going to look like. We need to see them at full strength to see if they're going to really contend. And, of course, the Nets, now the betting favorite to win the NBA championship. So the East is super top heavy, and then there's kind of everybody else.
Yeah, I think now over the next couple of weeks that I can't wait to see is how these guys kind of get healthy as the playoffs start to get closer and closer. Because now, look, once the trade deadline is over, you know, in a couple of hours, you finally say, okay, this is what we're rolling with. And now what you start to see is teams that you can believe in. Can you believe in this team? Can you believe in that team? Brooklyn, I believe in. I'm already good. Lakers, I believe in. But now this move that Denver made, what does that do for them now? Does that give them an extra guy who can they can put on a Donovan Mitchell now, right? Aaron Gordon can has that same type of athleticism.
Yeah.
I like that matchup, right? Then the Clippers, too. Very quiet. We know what happened last year in the bubble.
Clippers super quiet.
That's what I'm saying. They're super quiet. They're a really good team, and yet they're quiet. And I feel like you kind of like it, though.
You adopted their superstar's identity in that sense. Quiet. Kawhi's quiet. He just goes about his business.
I like it, though. It's kind of quiet for them because I think they're going to start to when the playoffs come, they're on a mission. But it's all about which Paul George do you get?
From now on, it's all about the Larry O.B.
Are you getting playoff P or pandemic P, right? That was his name. Pandemic P was not the
I'm hoping
the
pandemic
best.
P was just like a thing that we can turn the page on, forget ever happened, and not talk about it anymore.
Hey, by the way, Kyle Lowry's still out there.
Yeah, he's
still out there.
So that's what I'm saying, but he's leaning maybe toward, obviously, the 76ers possibly. I mean, who knows? But dang, think about how fast things change.
Real quick.
Remember, Toronto was the up and coming. They were the team, and all of a sudden, Kawhi leaves. Obviously, we know why. And then Kyle Lowry now was about to leave, and now they're kind of stuck with Pascal Siakam. I mean, no more Marc Gasol. Like that whole team is done. And so when I tell people you got to go for it right now, quit building toward the future.
Yeah, the future
like,
is now.
This is this. The future is now. Like
exactly.
It is no like
exactly.
We're 2 years like. I was a Warrior fan. I thought that window was going to be open for like at least 10 years. That window closed very quickly.
Yeah,
injuries, free agency.
5-year run, though.
Still, though, man. But you think the way that it was set up, it was supposed to keep going on and keep going on.
That's greediness right there, Kirk. You're being greedy now.
Well, I am greedy. Yes, I am greedy. Okay, I got to be greedy. You know what I mean? You know why I'm greedy? Just because it's great to win. Look, Brockman is a Patriots fan. How greedy they were. He's not talking this year after Tom Long.
No, Super Bowl's back on, guys. The whole team is back.
Oh, you know what? It's going to be it'll be interesting. Oh,
we'll talk,
man.
We'll
Make
talk.
Sure you guys we'll call talk. Us, though, on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here, filling in for Rich while Rich is on vacation.